This morning we are going to be in Joshua chapter 24, so if you want to go ahead and turn there. This is one of those passages that a lot of times you'll see it on a plaque on the wall in somebody's house or in an office or something along that line. You're on a shirt, whatever, but you see it a lot of times, and sometimes I think we miss what's behind it. And so this morning, that was my prayer all week, is that we would not miss what's behind this passage. But also, last night at about 9:30 or so, God said, well, we're going to put a twist to it just a little bit. And that always makes me panic a little bit, but then it also always makes me rely on Him just that much more. And so we are going to be in Joshua 24, 14 through 18, four short verses. And so if you would follow me there, we will start reading in verse 14. It says, now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He has brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the ways that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites, who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just pray right now that You would open up this Scripture to us. Lord, we know You promised it's alive. We know that no matter how many times we hear one Scripture, there's still something in it for us. And so I pray this morning that Your Spirit would move among us, that we would hear what it is You have for us today, Lord, that we might glorify and honor You. Lord, take Your Word and change us, mold us and make us into what You desire us to be. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage, like I said, is one of those that's very popular, very familiar. And generally, it's always that, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as I'm praying over that this week, that passage, it come to me that statement is such an awesome statement if it's true. But also, that statement, you have to be careful because it's, if I'm making that statement and I'm saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, to serve the Lord is a personal decision. Now, I want my house to serve the Lord, and I can do things in my house to take people and bring them into the point to see how I'm going to serve the Lord. But the bottom line is, it's for each individual in the house has to make that decision. And so, if we go back to see where these people had came from, we know that Joshua is leading the children of Israel, and if you read any farther in chapter 24, you know that Joshua is about to die. Now, whether he knows that or not here, I don't believe he does. But the bottom line is, he is telling the children of Israel, he said, I'm going to give you a challenge, and I'm going to tell you how it is. Because I'm not going to be here very longer. And at some point, you're going to have to make this decision on your own. You know, and I was sitting there last night and I was praying and I got to thinking about this because I had not thought about it all week. And maybe that seems really strange. But I thought, man, what a great New Year's Day sermon. You've got to choose this day whom you're going to serve the rest of the year. And I thought, boy, I bet I can work that in there. And then God said, no, you can't. Because this is not talking about the whole year. Because if you look at this passage, He says, choose this day who you're going to serve. So I'm not talking about Monday. I'm not talking about the rest of the year. I'm talking about this day. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. The person beside you cannot choose for you. You have to choose. It has to be personal. Because when he said that, he said, choose whom you're going to serve. And then he made it so immediate. Choose this day. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till tomorrow. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Because tomorrow that eastern sky may split open. So if you wait till tomorrow to serve him, it's too late. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Now, I'm pretty sure that he didn't have people come by him and say, okay, who are you going to serve? You got to choose right now, right today. That's not what happened. But he put it before them to say, who are you going to serve today? And then tomorrow when you get up, who are you going to serve that day? And for the next 365 days, who are you going to serve each and every one of those days? Because just like we had those New Year's resolutions, God, I'm going to serve you this whole year. I'm going to go on a diet this year. A lot of our choose you this day, choose you this year, last about as long as our diet. Because we have every intention. I read a post this week about a girl that was in school here a while back, and she literally went out and ran every single day, 365 days of the year. She posted that today was her 365th day of running. I thought, man, would that be nice? And if it was 70 degrees outside, I would be running, and it would be nice. But last Thursday, when it was felt like 25 below, Steve was not running. When it's nice out there, I would go run. But when it's not so comfortable, and I've got other things to do, I'm not going running. That's just my dedication to running. But unfortunately, our serving God has the same effect. Man, when everything is good, I'm going to serve Him. But when the weather or life is bad, it's not as easy to get up and serve Him. It's more easy to stay home, comfortable next to that fire. I'm not doing any harm to anybody. Nobody's going to miss me serving God today. Nobody's going to expect it of me. And when I get busy, I don't have time to go run. I don't have time to go serve God. I'm doing this for Him. I don't have time to do that. And so as we look at choose this day whom you serve, if you're going to choose for the whole year, I'm telling you right now, it's probably not going to happen. But if you're going to choose today, this morning, right now, to serve the Lord this day, then, man, all I've got to focus on is the next so many hours instead of the next so many days and months. You've got to choose whom you're going to serve today. And then how that goes hopefully will lead into tomorrow and lead into the next day. So that by the time you ran 350-some days and you get that 25 below day, man, all that's going to be built up to strengthen you that you can go ahead and serve that day. That's no fun. That nobody else is going to be out there serving, so why should I go? Choose this day, this 24-hour period, and really you get off the hook because you're sleeping part of that. But choose this day whom you're going to serve. And like I said, it's got to be you. If you want to read the Bible through this month, there is an app that you can go to. If you'll go to the Facebook page of our association, Mid Lakes Baptist Association, they've got a deal now that for this year that you can read the Bible through chronologically. You just click on there and it'll lead you to it. And so you get a little motivation that other people are doing it, but it will send you this to let you know that today was Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And so you have an opportunity to do that, and that will lead you into the Bible a little bit more. So you need to make it personal. Not the person beside you, and you need to make it immediate today. Because that's what Joshua told these people. And if we look back at everything that they had went through, and that's exactly what they did. Verse 16, I love it, because a lot of times this is not, we don't read this along with that passage. But the people answered, "Man, far be it from me to forsake God. Do you ever plan on forsaking God?" He says, you need to choose this God. You need to serve Him. It's like, well, we would never forsake God. Nobody's going to plan on that. Nobody's going to come up and say, well, you know, I'm going to serve Him today, but tomorrow I'm going to forsake Him. We don't plan those things. And these people, how did they get to that point? We're not going to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Because they looked back. They looked back at some of the things that they had went through. And they're going to state them. And we remember when God brought us out of Egypt. We were in slavery in Egypt, and He brought us out of that slavery. He brought us out of that bondage to where we could come out into the wilderness and serve Him. He didn't have to do that. But He did because He loved them. So, as we look at tomorrow or today, am I going to serve Him? Look back. Has He ever brought you out of bondage? Now, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then He's brought you out of bondage. He's brought you out of slavery to sin. I still sin. I still make mistakes, but I am not a slave to it. It does not control my life. I do not live in continual unconfessed sin because the blood of Jesus Christ took care of that. What you need to understand is if you look back at this point right now in this sermon and you say, God, I remember when You brought me out of bondage. I remember the day that I turned my heart over to You, when I chose to serve You and make You the Lord of my life. If you can look back and see that day, then you are right where these people were. You have the opportunity to say, God, because You brought me out of bondage, I'm not going to forsake You. I'm going to serve You this day. If you've never done that, If you've never been brought out of that slavery of sin, you may not feel the shackles around your wrists or around your feet. But if you've never accepted Christ, you're still a slave to sin. And you're still going to pay for that sin someday. But by the God of grace and mercy, He's made a way that you don't have to. You do not have to be controlled by that sinful nature. He wants to give you a new nature and create you into someone that He desires you to be. So as they looked back, they saw that He had brought them out of bondage. And then they go on to say, and He did these great signs in our sight. Man, they can look back and they can see the things how God had brought them through the Red Sea. They're standing there and Pharaoh's army's coming, and all of a sudden God says, just stand here and let God fight for you. And all of a sudden the Red Sea parts. And I guarantee you they were not looking at those soldiers anymore. When they realized what the God of creation just did for them. Man, they saw exactly how these great signs. And as they go on through, it's like, man, I'm hungry. And poof, manna from heaven. Well, I'm thirsty too. I wanted the food, but I'm thirsty too. And out of the rock comes water. Man, they saw all of these signs that God has done in their past. And so I ask you to look back and see the signs that God has done in your life. I just know as a church body, we can look back at the things that God has done for members or friends of members in this church this past year. How God has moved, how God has touched, how God has brought little babies into this world that it seemed like had everything against them, and all of a sudden God says, "Here, I got this." You know, or God was able to take people and see that their faith in Him. "Hey, just checking to see if you believed in me. Here, go home." And he comes home for the first time, December 31st, after having the tumor removed. We can look back and see those signs. But I ask you this. If you can't look back and see signs in your life, now it may not be some miraculous healing, or it may not be something what people would say is enormous. But if you can't see God working in your life, then maybe you're still in bondage. Because once they got out of bondage, God began to do great signs among them. Once God gets us out of bondage, He is performing signs all around us. But a lot of times, you know, we just don't look. I am very, very guilty of not making eye contact with people. I stare at these front pews more than you would ever know. You may think I'm looking at you, but see that clock or these pews. But the thing is, I don't look at people. And so I don't see a lot of facial expressions. It just happens. If I don't look, I don't see a lot of blessings. And if I don't look for God's blessings, I don't see them. That doesn't mean they're not there. That means I don't acknowledge them. It means I'm not looking for them. He wants to bless me. He wants to show me the power of the Almighty God. And I'm staring at a pew. That's what happens. We get so busy, we get to thinking about things, and I know my wife will ask me sometimes something, and it's like, how do I say I didn't hear what she said? You know what I'm talking about? Man, you know what I'm talking about. But I'll be focused on something, and I'll miss everything that she said till the second or third or fourth time. Because I'm focused on something that's not the right thing. And you can laugh about that, but you do the same thing with God. You focus on the things. I focus on the things that just happen to be on my mind at the time. And God's over there. Look at my sunset. Look at this sunrise coming up. And I realize I did those backwards, but just so you know. But He tells us these things. He wants to show us these great signs. He's still the God of all the great signs. But we're the people that are too busy focusing on other things, missing the blessings of God. But these people, when Joshua said, "Choose," man, immediately their mind could go back, their sight could go back. They could think of those things, those great signs that God had done for them. So they're not going to forsake Him. Not only did He bring them out of bondage and show them great signs, it says, "And they preserved us in all the way." Man, God took the children of Israel and He led them through the wilderness. And He brought them through so many different things. And He preserved them with food and water and protection from other people. And they would see that. They would see that people were coming and they would begin to, you know, to do something that God wanted them, and it would focus their eyes back on God. And they would see how He preserved them. Maybe it was something as small or great as put this snake up on this pole and everybody that looks at it will be healed from those snake bites that you got for disobeying me. God preserved their life so many times, even when they weren't obeying Him. "Well, Pastor, I don't know how you can... I can see the signs, I can understand the bondage, but how is God really... If you can't figure out that God preserved your life every single day of it, then we need to have a serious talk. Because if He did not preserve your life would be over. God is in control, and He has you in the palm of His hands. And everything that's happened in your life, He has preserved you to this point. I can remember years ago, my grandma used to make preserves and put them in her basement. And had we not tore the house down, they would probably still be there to this day. You guys know what I'm talking about. But they were preserved until just the time that you needed them. He's preserving you right now until the time He needs you. Serve Him. So He brought them out of bondage. He showed them great signs. He preserved them. And it says, and the Lord drove out from before us all the people. They knew that God was a shepherd. Because a shepherd is different than a cattle boss. Cattle boss, how do they herd cows? They get behind them and push them. What's a shepherd do? A shepherd goes in front of them and leads them. Shepherd's going before you today. That's what happened back then. Is God went before them. If it was at night, it was in a pillar of fire. If it was in the day, it was in a cloud. But He went before them that they knew where to go. Sometimes when I say, God, I just don't know where to go, it's because I'm not looking for the cloud or the fire. I'm not looking for His guidance. These people here, that's what they did. And they realized it. That God went before them and prepared the way and drove people out from in front of them. We have that same promise. There are over 13 Bible verses that say that God is going before us. He goes behind us. He goes with us. He empowers us. You're not going to get anywhere tomorrow that He has not already been. He's already there. He has prepared the way for you to serve Him tomorrow. It's just up to you. Are you going to serve Him? These people, they had all the right reasons to never forsake God. Out of bondage, great signs, preserved. God went before them. And man, their statement at the end of 18, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. They had it all right. They looked back to what God had done. They realized that God is going before them now. And they realized He's our God and we follow Him. And it would be such a nice story if it ended right there. But you know as well as I do that it doesn't. We're not going to read through it all. But if you start at 19, Joshua basically says, you can't serve the Lord. Because He's a holy God. But you just told me to serve Him and now you're telling me we can't. He's telling them the reason they can't is because they would not get rid of the gods of their fathers. As you and I try to serve God today, as you and I try to serve God tomorrow when that day gets here, and so on and so on, the only way I can serve Him, I can look back and see that He brought me out of bondage. I can look and see the signs that He's performed for me in the past and the way He's preserved me. And I can read all the promises about how He's going to go before me. But if I don't get rid of the gods of this world, it's never going to happen. With all the good intentions, man, down in 24, we will obey, we will serve Him, we will obey His voice. They had every intention. But if you read throughout the rest on into the New Testament, their problem was they did not ever get rid of the gods of their fathers. And when they lived in and around the people of the Amorites that had false gods that they had made with their hands, they began to worship them and serve them. And because of that, they could not do the things that they swore they would do. They had every intention. But if you go back to the very first charge, fear the Lord and serve Him, in sincerity and truth and put away the gods of your fathers. Put away the gods of this world, of the past. Before I was in bondage, when I was in bondage, I was a slave to a lot of sin, just like everybody else was. And when He broke that bondage, I've got to put that stuff away. I can't go back to it. I've got to serve the Lord, but I think here is a key. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Today, people do not fear the Lord. Oh, He's just a God of love and grace and mercy. And yes, He is. But He is the God that's in control. And the wrath of God is coming on this world because of sin. If you haven't dealt with your sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, then you will deal with the wrath of God because the wrath of God is coming because of sin. Like it or not, that's what the book says. And He says to fear the Lord. I'm not telling you to be afraid of Him, but I'm telling you to respect and honor His power. Because too many people don't today. And that's why our world is how it is. Because they just want to look at God as a big vending machine in the sky that when they want something, they go to Him. And when they don't, they just set Him aside. That Dr. Pepper machine down there, it's great when I want a Dr. Pepper or a sweet tea or a Sprite or something. But I probably get one a month out of there. The rest of the time, it's just a nightlight when I walk through there in the dark. That's the way people treat God. When they want Him, hey, I'll run to Him. I'm spiritually dying of thirst, so I run to Him. But the rest of the time, He'll keep me from bumping into things, and that's all it is. We have to understand that the fear of the Lord is what motivates us to put away those gods and choose to serve Him this day. As we look at this, it's real simple, pretty basic sermon of what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to serve Him? Because if He's brought you out of bondage, that's your responsibility. That's your job. That is what He's called you to do, is to serve Him. This day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Because He's brought you out of bondage. Man, if it's not enough, look and see what He's done in the great signs and the way He's preserved you. That should be enough of a reason. But if that's the only reason, it won't be enough. You understand what I said? That should be enough with everything we see God has done. That should be enough. But it will never be enough if we're not going to fear Him and serve Him only. The children of Israel failed because they would not get rid of the gods of their fathers. And that term there is gods. Plural. And I got to thinking about this as I'm reading through it just a minute ago. It doesn't have to be plural. Sometimes there's just that one little God that takes control of my attention, that takes control of my thoughts, that takes control of my life. And it pulls me away from the one true God. He's there. He's before us. He's done everything for us. To dying on the cross, rising, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding daily for me when I mess up. Interceding for you as a Christian when you mess up. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you want your house to serve the Lord? It's got to start with you. I don't care if you're a kid. I don't care if you're a teenager. I don't care if you're a young adult. I don't care if you're 99 years old. When you start serving the Lord, the people around you will be affected. They will see the signs. They may not understand where they come from, but they will see them. Serve the Lord this day. We're going to close this morning with that challenge. I know my God walks before me. Am I going to choose to serve Him? Now that doesn't mean just wear a little name tag that says I'm a Christian. That means to serve Him. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? It's different for every one of us, but it's in here. And you can't just come and get this once a week. You can't just get this every now and then. This is the bread of life. This is the water of life. You have to have it daily, or you will not have strength to serve Him. You will not have the desire to serve Him if you don't get fed by His Word. I'm asking you to serve Him just today. And when you get up tomorrow, you make that decision again for yourself. And the next day, and the next day. Because there's a lot of world out there that needs serving. But there's a mighty God that says, serve me. I can try to serve those people. They may take advantage of it. But when I serve my God, He will deal with those people. That's where we're at. We can have all of these ideas of, hey, this is a great platform to do this, or this is a great way to do that, and we'll reach people this way. No, He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He doesn't say, go find a new way to spread this, or go find a new way to do that. He says, lift me up, and I'll take care of the rest of it. I will draw all men unto me. Then He was lifted up on the cross, and people are drawn. You lift Him up in your life, people will notice. You serve Him, people will notice. But most importantly, He will notice. Because He desires glory and worship. And I'm too busy doing something else. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for Your Word. Father God, deal with us on an individual basis of how we need to respond to this today. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. May we never take it for granted. Lord, help us to apply it to our lives that we might honor You more. In Your name we pray. Amen.